Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Thank you, Andy. And we are here today and excited. We came with a plan to talk about some things, but interesting thing happened on the way to the radio station this morning. As we got here, there was somebody waiting outside for us who knew that we were doing this show this morning and actually had some questions. And as we started talking, we invited him onto the show and to ask his questions because we want everybody to get better answers. And we know that everybody has unique ones. So we've invited the gentleman on. Ike, do you mind if we use your real name or would you like to change that?
My real name's fine.
Okay. So Ike actually,
Well, why don't you let him?
Okay. So Ike, why don't you tell us your story?
Yeah. So my brother-in-law was recently diagnosed with ALS, and my brother-in-law and my sister live up in Salt Lake. She's a nurse, and so she understands the hospice care. But when I asked her, you know, what was going on with the palliative care, she understood the term, but she's just like, what do you mean? So she knew what palliative care was, but as far as it being something that was service to her and to my brother, it wasn't being done. And now she's in the hospital with some medical issues. And so, you know, family's trying to step in, but really the hospice care is just really kind of just taking care of the, I guess, pain management and handing out pills. But they're not getting any type of extra support the way that you talk about what you offer.
And that hospice company is fulfilling the minimum Medicare standard for hospice.
And I'm sure they're doing a phenomenal job at it. And I think it's important to say that we've mentioned this in the past. You wouldn't be in this industry if you didn't have a compassion for the seniors in the community and in this industry, in the hospice and healthcare industry. But the amount of care that you give that goes above the Medicare minimum standards really varies from company to company. And as we explained many times in the past, what brought us to this town was my father being put on hospice and the discovery that the hospice care here did not include a palliative portion like it did in my experience when my mother was on hospice in another state. And we just felt that with such a large senior community, how sad it was that this community did not offer an expansive palliative program. That's why we're here.
And we've realized that it isn't provided anywhere in Utah, Salt Lake included. You're not the first one that has people in Salt Lake that when you start talking about what we're trying to do here, they're flabbergasted. They just don't realize that that's available. They can't imagine it. We've got a patient whose daughter lives in Salt Lake, and she has, you know, talked to her friends and about her experiences here, and they all are wondering, well, how does that work? That isn't what we understand hospice to be.
Right. So, those services aren't available to them there.
Right. So we are bringing something completely unique to Southern Utah, and it may expand into Northern Utah, whether we expand there or whether companies just start to step up to the plate and do more than they've been required to in the past. So that's, I'm glad you come on and give us that perspective because that is really important to talk about what hospice could be versus what hospice is.
Well, and I think as we do this programs, people hear that there's a different palliative program, but they don't necessarily understand what that can mean. Like your sister who says, well, I understand the term palliative, but I don't know how that applies in my life. Well, it's all the extra support, the things that are non-clinical that bring a higher quality of life. Our palliative care team comes in and asks the specific questions that makes a program relative to your needs and specific to your individual desires and needs for the best quality of life that you can have.
Is it possible to, so my sister's already with a hospice company. How difficult is it for her to find a new one? Like if it's not fulfilling what she's needing, how difficult is it?
It's really important to understand that hospice is about choice. Patient's choice and how they are taking advantage of hospice, but also in the company that they use. And I would say that most people in the community don't know that there's more than one hospice company available. When they talk to the doctor and are referred to hospice, they may have only been given one name.
But your question, how easy? Super, super easy. Because hospice is all about choice, it is literally signing a paper and you're on with the next company. In fact, Medicare requires what they call a two-way transfer, meaning that the one company is responsible for your care all the way up until the next company takes it on, and it's time-stamped. If I release you and say it's 9:30 in the morning, the next company has to take on your care at 9:30 in the morning. So, but it's instant. There's no gap in care, no gap in coverage, and there's never a penalty to the patient or, you know, the beneficiary. As soon as they choose to make a change, it's instantaneous. They just sign a paper and say, this is who I want.
And if you decided that you wanted to make a change and the company that you were working with provided you any objection at all, any conflict or you know, try and discourage you from making that change, they are not conforming to the standards that Medicare requires. And you should let Medicare know that.
I've said it before. This is the one program that the government really tried to get right, because it's in the end of somebody's days of life. They've really tried to encourage companies to make sure that it's the very highest standard and the best quality of life for the beneficiary themselves, as well as their caregivers, their entire family. So everything's supposed to be very, very easily managed and navigated. You make a phone call to your current hospice company or a new hospice company, and you say, this is what I want. And they're supposed to take the responsibility of making sure that your desires are carried through, very simply, without stress, without difficulty or complication to the beneficiary or their caregivers.
Are there any special questions that I should be asking or that I should be sharing with my sister so that she has, because obviously they don't have palliative care up in Salt Lake. Is there some type of questions that we can get, like, the best hospice care available up there? Are there questions that someone can ask that would then kind of, like, get the ball rolling?
Well, that's a great question, and one of the things that we were talking about earlier is our palliative care team does not come into the family's home and say, what can we do for you? Because it's such a difficult time. Well, I don't know. My father was diagnosed with an incurable disease. What can you do for me? That's a really tough question. The questions really should be very specific. Where are your anxieties? How are you managing your day-to-day life, and what can we do to make that easier? Can we help with your homemaking? Can we help with your meal planning? Can we help with getting you to doctor's appointments or your loved ones, coordination of care? You know, very specific questions. So unfortunately, in your case, it's going to be up to you helping your sister come up with the questions that she needs to ask relative to her needs. Are you willing to do this for me? Can you send somebody in to help clean the house? Will you please send somebody to help us with meal preparations? You're going to have to come up with your needs and put it on the table to the hospice companies. And if that company isn't willing to do it, call around and see if other companies will, because it is part of the palliative program.
And that's being your own best medical advocate to take some control back from what's going on. If you leave it in the hands of the company you work for to make all the decisions, they're going to make the decisions that are in their best interest. And that was what we experienced with my wife's father. We didn't understand enough, and he went on hospice, and the hospice company made some decisions about what they thought was appropriate that had nothing to do with his goals, his desires, his condition, really.
And they never interviewed me. They never interviewed his family to say, this is what the plan of care that we are proposing. Are you happy with it? Are you comfortable with it? Would you like any input? Nobody said anything to us, and we didn't know that we had an opinion about it. Because nobody approached us, We just sat idly by, believing that the best was going to take place, trusting that they were the experts and laying all of our trust and all the responsibility in their hands. And it was only after that he was on such a high regiment of pain management that he died in three doses. He was literally dead in 3 days. It wasn't three doses, 3 days of his being put on hospice. And we were originally told that he should live, you know, close to the full 6 months, that he was strong, that his heart was strong, all of his, you know, the only underlying condition was a wound in his toes. So we were really surprised at the outcome, and that's what made us start doing the research and realize things should be different, and we should have been involved, and we had the right to be involved, we had the right to be asked, and we had a right to help with the plan of care. So often I find people don't even know what that term means, plan of care.
So Medicare has an expectation that the hospice company is including the patient, the caregiver, and the family in that plan of care. But most people are not involved in planning that care, making those decisions, determining what your own goals are. You know, somebody may have asked, so what are your goals? And the truth is, for people, goals change all the time under circumstances. You know, as things change, we want to change our goals. And if we don't update that, if we don't inform the hospice company that we have a different plan, and that goal could be to eliminate some things that you've been doing in your life or do something more, the goal could be to seek curative measures again and opt off of hospice. Again, that's a simple, easy process to do, and everybody should have that. But people aren't informed, and so they don't know that those options are available, and they become victims of the system. We don't want that. So for your sister and your brother-in-law, if they can communicate, plan what they want to get across to the hospice company, and see if the hospice company is really going to support them in what they feel is best for themselves, then they have a hospice company that's doing something for them. If they find that their hospice company doesn't feel that that's within the within their wheelhouse, it isn't, we don't do that, what we do is this, then it's time to start researching other hospice companies and finding out. And if you find something out, share it with your friends and neighbors so that that information can get out there. The companies that are good need help in getting their message out versus the ones that are just big or have a lot of referral sources because they're the default.
You know what you guys haven't done yet is given out a phone number.
We have not given out our phone number. So our phone number is 435-477-6999. Saying that nice and slow because I was told I talked too fast.
It was perfect. I already have it memorized. 477-6999.
That's right.
And I hope other people do too.
You can also go to our website, which is pathwayhospicecare.com. All of these radio shows that have been recorded are on the website, so you can refer back to them for additional information.
You know, one of the things that seems like you guys are saying to Ike is you have power, Ike. You have the choice and the ability to go out there and make sure that your loved one is being taken care of. And that's something, you know, my mom is on hospice right now, and that's something I didn't know. And right now they're entrenched in a company, and I'm not going to say what that company is, but I kind of feel like she's not getting the palliative part of things. And I don't know that there's anything I can do about it right now, but I'm certainly going to check into it.
Well, and we're not trying to get people to change if they're happy with the service they have. Certainly that,
right.
We want them to be happy and comfortable. And I understand.
We're trying to inform the community.
Yeah.
But so that everybody understands that there's a lot more that is supposed to be being offered to you, and you should ask for it.
But sometimes it's uncomfortable to ask for things. It's uncomfortable to start talking to people about things that maybe they didn't want to talk about. But it is important that you become your own best medical advocate, that you do talk to your hospice company and explain to them what you really want to accomplish and have them help you do it. You may find that it's not something they've done in the past, but they might be willing to. And if that works, if this radio program gets every hospice company to do a better job, then we've accomplished one of our goals here. So we're really excited about that. And Andy, you're absolutely right. This is an opportunity to take on some control in your life if you choose to. And, you know, at a time like this, when things seem out of control, it can be very comforting to know that you can control something, to control what every day is going to be like for you for as many days as you have.
You know, and we just had a call yesterday where a family member said that they, too, were not receiving all the palliative care that we have talked about, and they wondered why. And we suggested to them that they, encourage their current hospice company to include more offerings, to do more for them, let them know that you have needs. You have needs for help in cleaning the home and in compassionate care, having people come in to sit with the loved one and converse and, you know, just spend time with them. But when it came down to it, their hospice company, you know, very frankly said to them, I don't know why you think that we can do that. These are the things that we offer, and it was the minimum standards. So they came back to me and said, you know, maybe it's just too late to transfer. You know, my mom does not have that much longer anyway. And I thought, I don't want to say this to you, but it's never too late to make the final days, whether it's the single day, 3 days, or 5 days, or 6 months. It's never too late. The worst would be letting your loved one pass and then having regret that you didn't do everything for them and make them as comfortable as they possibly could be and relieve as much stress as you can. I know it really wasn't my place, but I actually was asked to call the nurse, and I called her and encouraged her to, you know, consider talking to the company to do a little more. So we'll see where that pans out.
So, Ike, for you and your sister, if your sister and brother-in-law have any questions, have them call us. You know, we're not providing service in Salt Lake, but that doesn't matter. We want everybody to have a better experience. So if we can answer some questions for them, maybe point their hospice company in a direction that they hadn't considered before, we would love to do that.
If they're empowered with the knowledge, they can know which direction to go.
That's right. Awesome. Thank you. That's awesome.
Well, thank you for coming in and being on the show today. I know you weren't expecting that, and it's great that you're willing to help us out. And Andy, I really appreciate your input. I know that your mom's on hospice, and we've had those discussions, and I didn't want to bring that up if that wasn't something that's comfortable for you, but I'm glad that, you know, you're willing to share with us.
You bet.
We started this morning planning on talking about a real need in the community that that isn't being addressed well. As the community starts opening up, you know, as restrictions are being loosened and we can go to restaurants and we can go to church on occasion and we can do things that we haven't been able to do over the last few weeks, those restrictions aren't universal. There are other people that within our community that they are still on a very tight lockdown, and that is our elderly. They're not experiencing the same relief that the rest of us are when it comes to not being so isolated.
And what Richard means by that is the senior community is being told that you should still not join group events, congregations at more than 10, still limit your participation in church activities and even attend going to the store. And so our seniors are still locked in their home in isolation.
And so from our efforts in the community, you know, our aged citizens, they're yearning for that social interaction. So the people who are medically challenged, who, are old, things like that, they are still not getting that opportunity to socialize. And a phone call takes just so little time to just call and talk to somebody and give them an opportunity to talk about something other than, the virus itself, just have that conversation. But, in our own social distancing in our family, we've been spending a lot of evenings at home, and we've started watching a telephone program called Alone. I don't know, Andy, if you've watched any of that.
I've not seen that one, but I heard about it.
It's on both Netflix and Amazon, and there's different seasons. It's kind of an interesting deal. They take 10 people and completely isolate them. They have no camera crew around them or anything, and put them out in the wilderness the northern part of northwestern part of Canada.
It's cold, right?
Cold and wet, yeah. And with very little, and ask them to survive as long as they can, and whoever survives the longest wins $500,000.
Wow, incentive.
It is. And so these people get out there. And it's interesting to see all of the things that they go through. But one of the things that, you know, rings home to me because of where we're at and the people that we talk about and work with is the isolation and how it affects them.
That seems to be the hardest issue to overcome. You know, there's wild animals, there's the lack of food and the difficulty in trying to, you know, provide shelter and comfort for yourself. But the hardest thing for people and the shortest period of time is the isolation, the loneliness.
Right. So if you look at it, you know, they tell these people, well, you might want to plan to be out there for a year, right? A year all alone. And yet over the three seasons that I've watched, they've only lasted 60 days. 60 days in isolation without other people around.
And within 30 days, people are going crazy and crying at the cameras about how lonely they feel and how difficult isolation is. And that's what we're putting people through right now, through COVID. And I don't think we all realize just how difficult it is for the senior community who is not getting out during the days.
Within 14 days of those episodes, half of the people quit because they just couldn't deal with it. And we've been longer than 14 days in this COVID isolation. We've been, it's been really hard. So what we would like to do is encourage everybody to reach out to people that they know. And we have people who are calling us saying, please, can I, do you just have somebody who can come talk to me, can spend time, you know, at the pool with me so that, you know, I don't feel so alone. And so if you call us, we would like to put you in touch with somebody that you can at least talk to, or even take a couple of camp chairs and put it on their front lawn 6 feet apart and just talk for a little while, 30 minutes. If you want us to help you do that, we'd love to. If you just want to do that within your own neighborhood, it would be great. But we really know that this is hard. The people on Alone, they chose to do that. They prepared for months. They've been very busy. They've had their mind and body very busy during the first part of that time doing stuff to distract them. But our elderly people didn't choose to be involved in COVID, and they don't get to make a phone call and have it over with at any time. That's not a choice that they have. So this is extremely taxing and difficult for our elderly neighbors and friends and family. And so we're really asking people to make an effort. And we've got some other things we'd like to talk about, and maybe we'll get to that next week as to some additional programs we want to produce to make that work. But for right now, if you can talk to your friends and family and volunteer to make somebody else's life busy, better. It doesn't take much time. 20 minutes, a half an hour, once a week. If you have that kind of time that you can commit to, we'd love to have you call us.
435-477-6999.
And if you are struggling with being alone, then I want you to call us also, and we will try and put you in touch with somebody who will help alleviate that pain and anxiety.
But great, great message today, and a reminder to all of us that there are people out there that are very alone, and all they need is a little company. I called my dad last night, and he was so happy just to hear from me, even though I didn't have time to stop by, just getting a phone call.
Yeah.
You could hear it in his voice.
It's true. It makes a big difference.
So we'd like everybody to make a big difference in this community, and we will make changes, and we will improve the image of hospice in this community if we all work together.
It's Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Once again, the phone number?
435-477-6999.
And Kaylee, the website?
PathwayHospiceCare.com.
Great job, guys. Thanks
again,
Andy.
And Ike, thanks for coming in and being on the show with us today.
Thanks.